Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. But they still do. Some still do because they think it's premium. We talk about this at the beginning of every podcast, Dr. Jasek. How many clients come into your office who are feeding kibble versus those that are feeding raw?
You know, I would say, well, a lot of people that come to find me are at least interested in feeding raw, or they have dabbled in it. So I'd say it's about, you know, maybe 50-50 right now. But I would say, a large percentage of, especially of the sick dogs, have fed kibble for a significant part of the dog's life. So a lot of people that I see are recently investigating the raw, and that's why they're coming to me, because they're like, okay, I really want to do this, but I need, you know, I need support. Or they've had the wake up call. You know, my pet just got a cancer diagnosis and I'm going to do everything I can. What do I need to do? So they're interested and they're sort of in the process of changing their mindset, and they want support and they want a veterinarian that will help them with that, and not berate them for feeding, you know, kibble diets. True, kibble feeders that just aren't willing to sway. I really don't see them. We actually discourage them from working with us because it just doesn't work out well, because I'm just going to keep telling them about the diet. And if they don't do the diet change, we're just not going to have success. You know, the only way to treat a kibble fed dog is to do suppressive medicine. You know, if you're treating, you know, skin or any inflammatory, you know, so kibble causes inflammation. And if you're going to treat inflammation and you're not going to take them off the kibble, you're going to have to use, you know, suppressive medicine. So your steroids and antibiotics and your Epoquils and all that. And I avoid going down that road. So people aren't willing to open up to a different approach to diet, then yeah, we don't work well with them.
Yeah. I just had a customer this week canceled their order. Why? Because their vet said to. And here was, I didn't speak to them, unfortunately, but I said, well, what was the issue that the dog was having that the vet advised them to take them off raw? Well, he was having digestive issues. Well, first of all, the guy didn't even get to start feeding raw. He ordered it. The dog was having digestive issues. And evidently, in the meantime, before he even received the raw diet food, his vet convinced him that, oh, you're having digestive issues now? Wait till you get on raw.
Ask the question, well, why? Why is raw going to give my dog more digestive problems? And I would bet that 99% of the conventional vets out there that condemn raw don't have a clue. That's just the, you know, we were talking earlier about propaganda and a whole bunch of other issues and what's out there. Well, it's the same thing in the pet food industry. There's a lot of propaganda out there that veterinarians buy into. They're being programmed by these big, you know, food companies, the Hills and Royal Canin and Purina and all of those companies. And I don't think the vets even ask why. They're just like, oh, it's just so much easier to sell the kibble. Just so much easier. Send the bag out. We don't have to take time to talk to people about, you know, nutritional education and all of that. It seems like the profession to me has just gotten lazy, and they're not curious, and they're not even practicing medicine, really. Like the profession is just a pawn of big pharma and these big food companies is, you know, what I see happening, especially in the corporate clinics.
Yeah. Okay, people, we got to snap out of it. As I say, wake up, stand up, snap out of it, which is so appropriate for this time, isn't it? Wake up, stand up, snap out of it.
Oh. It totally is. Totally is. We need to think for ourselves because you don't want anybody else doing your thinking for you because you might get outcomes you're not in favor of.
Well, and the thing about it is they're going to do the thinking for you and you think that's great till you finally figure out that you don't, that life ain't what you thought it was going to be. Okay. So don't let people think for you. Although it is dangerous today to think for yourself, Dr. Jasek. It really is. I've been accosted more this year than I've ever been in my life. And it's scary. All right. So I have a question from a listener. Our listener's name is Caitlin. And she says, I love listening to your podcast. I love how you really make people think about things rather than just being another sheeple. I do too, Caitlin. That's what, you know, we're trying to get people to think.
Right.
All right. So here's a question from Caitlin. She's got several, but here's one I want to address. Because she says, how do you justify feeding a dog raw? So she feeds her dogs raw. She has three dogs on a full raw diet, only for 4 months now. But she said, you know, I asked because my dogs were perfectly healthy before switching to raw. Good for you, Caitlin. No allergies, no medications, nothing. She says, now I have these naysayers constantly confronting me anytime my dogs show a lack of interest or joy in eating raw. And she says, I do want to educate, but I know they will scoff if I justify my feeding raw now. Basically, what I'm getting from this question is that there are times when her dogs don't want to eat, right? They maybe have had enough. Maybe there's not a lot of variety. Who knows? I don't know because I'm not in her home. But I do want to say this, Dr. Jasek, that the thing that we see in the commercial pet food manufacturers is that they do this, they call the first taste test, right? Because they know if your dog gobbles up the food, and we see it in the raw too, but if your dog gobbles up the food, then that is going to convince the pet parents that it's great for their dogs and that their dogs love it and everybody's happy. But what we know is that in real raw, pure raw, like what we sell, there are no flavor enhancers. There, it's just the raw food. And I want to say this, that most people believe that natural flavors are healthy. But I was reading this article about flavor enhancers, and it says many flavor enhancers are chemical derivatives, and they endanger the employees who manufacture them. And natural flavors can be so dangerous that the manufacturing facility must provide additional ventilation, training in proper handling. They must give them special equipment to protect them from carcinogens. And unfortunately, they say in this article that these guidelines are often not followed and human health has been compromised. And they see in humans that they develop these autoimmune disease with fatigue and they have compromised respiratory systems and shortness of breath. So how many people out there manufacturing commercial dog food have been accused of having COVID when it's actually the natural flavors?
Yeah, right.
Isn't that scary? So
that's crazy.
So I think that, how do you deal with somebody who is a naysayer of raw dog food? Don't worry about it. But I know that that's easy for you and I because we see the benefits all the time. But what would you say to our listener, Dr. Jasek, about the naysayers who say, well, must not be great. Your dog doesn't want to eat all the time. They don't act like they're just super excited to eat.
One of my first, I wanted to make a comment on the flavor thing first before I forget. Just the word flavor, like to say it's a natural flavor, that's like contradictory because a flavor can't be natural. Flavor, if you're putting a flavor in something, it's artificial to begin with. And to me, that just says it's going to be synthetic and it's going to be some sort of chemical, because real food doesn't need to be flavored. They have to flavor the kibble crap because dogs wouldn't eat it if they didn't put, I've heard it referred to as their special sauce. They have, the companies do have special, you know, techniques. They develop these special sprays. Literally, they put this food together with these horrible, inflammatory, dead, toxic ingredients, and then they spray it with this special flavoring. So dogs love it. And another thing, I've been seeing this a lot lately on kibble-fed dogs, because of the high carb content, it drives the glucose up. And the glucose drops, you know, it's just like if you eat a donut in the morning at 8 o'clock, and then by 10 o'clock, your blood sugar is crashing and you're starving. And I have people describing to me, it's not normal hunger. It's this food urgency. And people will come in like, my dog has this urgency about food that, you know, the counter surfing, that just like stalking, you know, people are home now. Like, my dog will just, the middle of the day, I have to give him another meal because they're like stalking me wanting to eat. And when we switch to the raw, that goes away. And I think a big part of that is that our blood sugar is stable and the dog is satiated. And especially, as you know, I like to, you know, increase that fat content a little bit on pets that can tolerate it and where it's indicated. That allows for more satiety after the meal. So we're not getting these blood sugar dips. And I have people all the time tell me, oh, all that like food, they come in, they describe it as food anxiety. Like their dog just can't get enough to eat because those blood sugar spikes and they're addicted to these carbs. And then when you start to feed them raw, that goes away. And I actually think that dogs skipping meals, like that's normal. Their body's just telling them, hey, you know what? I need a break. You know, just like us, I think if we tuned into our bodies, like sometimes, you know, like I know, like I eat something that maybe isn't the best thing for me and my body feels kind of, ugh, what's the best thing to do? You don't eat for 12 hours. You give your body a little bit of a break. And I think once dogs are on a fresh food diet and their gut is healthier, so we have a healthy microbiome, because man, I'm learning so much about the microbiome these days, and it's just fascinating. And, you know, there's this whole gut brain axis. So when you have a healthy gut and a healthy microbiome, these instinctive tendencies, you know, that dogs have that, hey, you know, my body's feeling a little off today. I think I need to skip a meal, which is the healthiest thing for them to do in that moment. And it's perfectly normal when they're on a healthy diet. I think that the animals can tune into that, you know, instinctive tendency much better than on a high carbohydrate, dead, toxic kibble.
Yeah. And two of the really dangerous flavorings, you guys, that are in pet foods is MSG, okay, and it's diacetyl. So D-I-A-C-E-T-Y-L. This is a flavoring that's actually put into microwavable popcorn to imitate butter flavoring. Right? And so it's very, very dangerous. The thing about the MSG is that we see a lot of pets that are irritable or seem to have unexplained agitation, discomfort. But the question is, are they suffering from neural stimulation from hidden sources of MSG in their food or their treats? And what we also see with MSG is aggressive and phobic behaviors, which seem to be on the rise in people and pets. Now, I would say that everybody seems like they're on MSG these days, but
no doubt.
But here are some pet foods that you guys are going to recognize with natural flavorings. One is Fresh Pet, which is in the refrigerated section of natural grocers or Walmarts or stuff like that. Fresh Pet Select Chunky Beef. Okay. There's also two prescription diets. Imagine that, Dr. Jason. that have natural flavoring. So I would say to these vets who are poo-pooing the raw diet, well, let me ask you, do your prescription diets have natural flavorings in them? One is Hill's Prescription Diet. Hill's Ideal Balance is another one. Then you've got Merrick Grain Free. Okay, you've got Anoma Adult Canned Food. You've got Meow Mix, of course, for cats. And Natural Balance. There's a whole list of them. But natural flavorings are dangerous to people and they're dangerous to pets. So I'm saying that because if the naysayers, Caitlin, are saying, look at my dog, it is gobbling up this food, that doesn't necessarily mean that that is the best thing for them. As a matter of fact, could be quite dangerous. So know that you're hopefully feeding a raw food that has no preservatives, no synthetics, no flavorings, no nothing but the real food in it.
You know, something I see too, you know, with raw feeders, you know, that they might be feeding a little too much or too often. And that might be part of the reason why their dog isn't gobbling up the food. Cause you know, I mean, I agree, like don't feed your dog anything you can't pronounce that's on the label. You don't know what it is. If it's a bunch of chemical names, you have no idea what you've been putting in your dog's diet. So it's, to me, it's just logic that a fresh food diet is going to be, better, is going to be healthier for your dog. And, you know, it can certainly be balanced. You know, I get that question a lot too. Like, how do I know this diet is balanced? And, you know, we've talked about that. It's through the rotation. And sometimes dogs, you know, they need a little more variety to entice their appetite. But sometimes when people are home and they're like, so their dog doesn't eat in the mornings. An hour later, they offer them something else. An hour later, they offer them something else. An hour later, they offer them something else. You know, dogs are well designed to eat, you know, no more than two and even down to one meal a day. And they're going to build up that appetite. So that would be one question I would have for her, you know, too, is her feeding style and how much. You know, I have little dogs, little chihuahuas, and my littlest one will get kind of picky sometimes. And it's usually an indication to me that I'm overfeeding her because she's just like, yeah, I'm just not that hungry. I'm going to see if mom will give me a treat, you know, even if I don't eat my meal. And I start to cut back a little bit on what she's eating. And within 2 days, man, she's just tearing into her food again. So I think there's some trends that have developed from this, you know, work at home, and people are a little more, you know, attentive to what's going on with their dogs, which can be a good thing. But I think when it comes to feeding, we need to feed, you know, put the bowl down. They don't eat, pick it up and put it down, you know, the next meal, but not an hour later, you know, give them 8 or 10 hours, just give their body that little break. And in my experience, usually those appetites just come roaring back.
Yeah. And I would have 3 different blends or 4 different blends on hand, right? And, yeah, you know, chop them up, put them in the freezer so you can pull something else out. I think you could possibly even take a couple of meals and actually, you know, brown it, you know, see if they just need a little bit different texture or something. I have actually never had any issues with picky dogs, right? Over 20 years, I haven't. Now, I do have my neighbor that I've told you about. This dog, I have, now he's been on kibble for a very long time, but he really only likes beef. And I go over there and I've tried him on turkey, I've tried him on duck, I've tried him on fish, I've tried him on a variety. The dog only likes beef. Now, we're going to see if after he's been on raw for a while, we can change that. But, you know, and he won't eat fish, which is a question also that Caitlin has asked. She said, you recommend feeding fish at least 3 times a week, but what would you do with the dog that won't eat any fish products besides oils or cooked fish? She said she's tried sardines, herring, mackerel, salmon, clams, mussels, salmon, trout, blends.
Wow. I want to go eat at her house. I love fish.
Yeah. She's tried to blend it. She's tried to cut it up. She's tried hiding it. hiding it, even trying to wait her dog out. Some dogs are just not going to eat fish, Caitlin, and we understand that. I'm not a big fan of the oils. You're not either, are you, Dr. Jasek?
No, because the fish oils, you know, again, once we start processing, we're going to lose nutritional value, and they're not stable at all. So any amount of heat or light, or now as we're getting into winter, cold, can actually cause those oils to go rancid. So I would favor even like lightly cooking some fish. If they don't like the raw, if they would eat like a lightly cooked fish product, that might even be better than, I definitely think it would be better than a fish oil. And then, you know, adding in other things like the phytoplankton, you know, that's another source of our, you know, omega-3s, you know, that's, I mean, I encourage just about everybody to add a little phytoplankton. And I think it's just this great addition to the diet. That's just helping provide some extra nutrients in a whole food form. So we're not doing any synthetics, but I think that can help round out the nutritional content of the rotation if we have individuals that, you know, just seem to favor a certain protein. And I think I've had clients ask that question too, that like, well, my dog only likes a certain protein. So I usually say, you know, if they're new to eating raw, you know, let them eat that protein for a while and then just slowly start to add in another one, just see if you can get them. I think it's pretty unusual if over time we can't get them to eat something besides the beef, but maybe that's the best thing for their body. You know, if they've been on kibble a long time, maybe they're anemic. Maybe their body needs that, you know, the nutrients in the beef and so they favor it. But yeah. I think over time, you can slowly, you know, don't have to give a whole meal. Like if they're used to eating beef and they like eating the beef, and then you all of a sudden give them a whole meal of turkey and it's completely different, the dog's like, what the heck? But maybe you could just add in 25% of a turkey blend so they still have that beef. You know, that's natural flavoring, right? Feed the real food.
Yeah.
And then just, you could mix a little bit of that turkey in and get them a little more used to eating it that way too.
Yeah. And I want to say something about oils, Caitlin. You know, a lot of people use flaxseed oil. But here's the thing, flax does contain a lot of omega-3, but flax also contains the anti-nutrient called phytic acid, which will rob your dog of some minerals. And some dogs have allergic reactions also to flaxseed. I prefer, like you were saying, Dr. JC, the phytoplankton. I would always suggest getting the vitamin D checked. Dr. JC does that, checked my dog's vitamin D. They can recommend some great vitamin D, you know, little supplements for you. But yeah, I would go that direction. Now, Caitlin's last question, you know, is a question that I get quite often, Dr. Jasek, but she says, I know you will never recommend kibble for any reason. Very good, Caitlin, because friends don't let friends feed kibble. And you're my friend.
Amen.
All right. She said, nor would I ever want to go back to it. But Caitlin does go for hikes, long distance trail hikes, or she wants to know, what would you feed a dog if they are going on a cruise? Because she says, you know, would you recommend a freeze-dried or a dehydrated food for travel where it's impractical or impossible to feed raw? Are you sure it's impractical? Are you sure it's impossible, Caitlin? Now, come on. I don't know about cruises, Dr. J. So do they have a rule that you can't bring on raw food, or is it just a question of if you're there for 7 days, you don't have a freezer? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't think there's any cruises going on now, but I think the most important thing is don't feed kibble. So, you know, if I have a client that's just absolutely can't figure out how to do the raw thing, you know, and I know, like Dee Dee, you said that you'll even, you know, ship it. I've had people do that. Like they're traveling another part of the country and they just have the food shipped there ahead of time because they're staying with a family member and they've got a freezer and they can ship, have enough food for a week shipped. Or you can carry it in a cooler. There's, there are different ways of managing that. You know, if you pack some raw food frozen in a cooler, and then just kind of slowly took it out to thaw it, I think that could be manageable. Especially like, you know, I got clients that are going to backpack or something, you know, carrying raw would be a little inconvenient. But you know, for the most part, you know, there's workarounds, you know, there's workarounds if you just think about it and, you know, look at your routine and look at what you're doing and how important is your dog's health to you. And there's definitely a lot of workarounds, but most important, don't default back to feeding kibble or even canned food.
Well, and the other thing I would say is this, realize the difference that's going to appear in your dog. Meaning if you're feeding a freeze dried food, they're going to need a lot more water on that trail, on that hike, on that, you know, trip. Okay. The other thing is look and see if you can get the cleanest product available, right? So for instance, our treats, right, are air dried. They're not going to have a bunch of other gunk in it, right? So it may not be raw like you have to keep in the freezer, but what we're always looking at is what is in it, right? So when you're trying to find a freeze-dried or dehydrated food, then you want to look and see what are the other additives. Does it have flavorings? What does it have in it? Get the cleanest one that you can get. And I would say for a couple of days, you're probably going to be just fine, right? But don't do, like you said, don't do the kibble.
Don't do the kibble. And another thing to look for that I see in a lot of dehydrated and freeze dried is they put a lot of carbs in. They'll be like high in potato, or, you know, some of them do even have grain in, and even if they're grain free, they'll have a lot of high carb, high glycemic carbohydrate, you know, fillers. Like potato, you can even look, I mean, even like in the pictures of some of these products online, you can just look at them like, God, it's like half white potato. So you don't want that. They're going to be less expensive, but that's why. So and dehydrated foods, the good ones, they're pricey. I mean, they're going to cost you more than feeding raw, actually. So that might be something to consider, because the really good quality ones, like you're saying, Dee Dee, that don't have a bunch of artificial flavors and chemicals and high carb fillers, they're pricey, because those products, if they're really well sourced, are expensive to produce. So it's going to probably cost you more to go down that road too.
I always look at how much time is my dog not going to eat, because you could use these times that you're hiking or going on trips. Take one of those as your fast day, right? Fast mm-hmm. the dog, that's a day, right? So if you're traveling, maybe it's at the end of the trip. So now you're going to pack your raw food. And remember, you can put it in a cooler with some ice. It's going to be fine for 5 days. Let it stay cold and it'll be fine. If you're traveling for 6 days, take that sixth day and make it a fast day. I think there are many, many ways that you can do it. I think that it's this bacteria scare, right, that we all have. Oh my gosh, if it's there for a little bit longer than 3 days, oh my gosh, it's gonna, you know, kill my dog. That is not true. I mean, if you guys could see what Neely Piazza does in the background to test the health of her dogs, you'd be like, oh my gosh, there's no way my dog would ever get sick, right? So, I mean, just, and what I mean by that is food that smells off, food that's been left out a little longer, you know, things like that. And she really does look at this all the time and say, I don't understand why certain dogs are having issues when I can feed the stinkiest of turkey necks ever that would just blow somebody out, and the dogs don't vomit, they don't have diarrhea, they don't have issues. This, she does a lot of it all the time, just testing and seeing how the dogs react. And maybe it's that her dogs have extremely healthy guts, as you were talking about before, that they're able to handle a larger bacteria load.
Well, and I also know Neely does not, you know, over vaccinate. She's not giving her dogs multiple rounds of antibiotics and putting them on things like Apoquil. You know, she doesn't do any conventional treatments like that, that completely hammer the gut and they completely disrupt the gut microbiome, because a healthy, you know, carnivore in, you know, intestinal tract, dog has a healthy gut. Yeah, they can handle the bacteria. They got that high acid content in their stomach, and that those little, you know, bacteria don't have a chance. Dogs are natural scavengers, and they're, you know, their systems are designed that they could run out and eat roadkill. What do you think, you know, coyotes and foxes and these like wild carnivores are eating? You know, they're eating carcasses and, you know, dead stuff. What, you know, watch a National Geographic special and a wolf pack takes down an elk or a moose. That carcass is laying out there for days and all kinds of critters are feeding on it. It isn't refrigerated. You know, you think there's not bacteria growing on it? Of course there is. But it's days in the sun and the rain and all these, you know, different weather conditions. And there's critters, you know, feeding on that for a long time. You know, these bigger predators, mountain lions and bears, they'll take that carcass and just go bury it somewhere and feed off of it for days. And there's no refrigeration. So if raw food was that susceptible to growing these toxic bacteria, then why aren't these mountain lions and bears all dropping dead and wolves? You know, I think it's the conventional interventions, the over vaccinating, the multiple rounds of antibiotics, Apoquil, all of these drugs that have messed up the gut. And that's why some dogs have a harder time sometimes transitioning to raw, or maybe their systems are more sensitive. But I think that's why, because I know for certain that Neely's not pumping a bunch of drugs into her dogs.
Oh, no. No, no, no. If you've heard Neely talk, you get that pretty quick. That ain't happening. So we get some calls sometimes, Dr. Jasek, and this one, it's difficult sometimes to convince pet parents that it's not necessarily the food in this respect. And we've said this before, that it's not necessarily the food that is causing loose stools, but the way the food is being used. Now, let me also say this, that in pure raw, it is never going to smell the same, look the same. Maybe the texture is going to be slightly different because all animals are different, right? You might have in this particular run, I like to say, this animal might have been older. They might have been in a different region. They might have had different stress levels. Maybe they have a little more fat. It's not always going to be the same. And sometimes people will call me and say, well, there's something wrong with this batch because it made my dog have diarrhea. And I look at that and I say, well, okay, it's not a bad batch, but what could it be, Dr. Jasek, that is causing a dog? And why does a dog, is it just that they're not able to maybe handle a little more fat in the diet? They're not able to handle a little more organ in the diet? I mean, it's minute shifts, right? In the product, it's never going to be exactly the same. Why do some things cause dogs to have diarrhea and other times they don't?
Well, I think another thing that we need to be careful to look at is what else besides the feeding program could that dog have been exposed to? You know, dogs are out sniffing around and, you know, we've talked about the dangers of things like glyphosate and chemicals and other things. And could there have been some exposure that the pet parent is not aware of? So I think that is always a possibility. But when it comes to, let's just say it's the diet, it's a shift in the diet that threw this dog off. I look at that we are, so, you know, say if it's a dog that has not been on raw for very long and pet parents experimenting with different proteins or increasing the organ or feeding some extra tripe, and they'll see, oh, I gave, you know, some extra tripe and my dog had diarrhea. Well, one of the things that's going on is we are retraining that dog's digestive tract. We are actually growing a microbiome. So whenever you change the diet, you're feeding different bacterial populations, and you have to give the body a little time sometimes to respond to that. So a dog that has a super healthy, resilient gut can adapt, and that microbiome can adapt to changes better. But dogs that have been, and this is unfortunately the majority of dogs, you know, that I see when I talk to people about this and I dig into the history, you know, they've been faithfully vaccinated every year, and they give heartworm prevention every month. And sometimes they're on flea and tick prevention, and they have something like skin disease. They've been on multiple doses of antibiotics. Those dogs' guts are a mess. Their microbiomes are completely messed up. So it's going to be tougher with those dogs. And I just started telling people point blank, like, this is going to take some time, and we're going to have to go slow, and we're going to have to see how your dog responds, because it's not the food. It's about how well can the dog adapt. And a lot of this is related to the dog's past medical history. I have a 14-year-old, 5-pound Chihuahua that she gets no pharmaceuticals. I mean, vaccinator. She's actually never been vaccinated.
And, shame on you. Shameful. Look at you spreading disease in the world.
I know. She's out there just infecting dogs with parvo left and right. But she's got a gut of iron. She always has. She's been on raw. I've had her since she was 3 months old. She's been on raw the whole time. And she gets her occasional little loose stools for whatever reason. Usually it's because she's out in the garden nibbling. She likes to go graze on stuff in the garden and probably eats too much of something. And she'll have her little bout of loose stool. She occasionally skips meals. And like, I just don't even worry about it, because usually she'll skip a meal, and by the next meal, she's hungry again. But I think that is, you know, because she's not had all of these medications and all of these insults to the gut. So I would say to that comment, you know, there's something wrong with the food. It's not the food. It's that your dog needs some help adapting to it. And maybe we need to add in some gut support, some, you know, some herbs, some like the, you know, the Healthy Gut by Adored Beast, or a little probiotic or prebiotic, or, you know, we need to add in some digestive support to help the dog transition. And, you know, I think people need to have some patience with the process, because it can take a while, you know, sometimes a couple of months to get your dog's gut and microbiome really healthy and really resilient. And I think, you know, people need to really take a look at what they're doing. Cause when I dig in and ask questions, and I've learned, you got to ask very pointed questions, cause, oh, you're doing anything else, you know, medically, and people will say no, cause they're not thinking about it. Well, when was the last time your dog was vaccinated? Oh, well, my dog was due for lepto last month. So I got the reminder. So I took it in. I think a lot of people think that those things are benign, and they're not, and they can influence the gut and the microbiome and make it harder for them to tolerate raw. So you have to, I think, vary the routine to what the individual pet is doing. So if a certain blend's giving them diarrhea, then maybe back off on that and find the ones that agree with them more and feed that for a little longer, and then try to reintroduce. Or if the extra organ meat, you know, gives them diarrhea, well, maybe you just gave them too much, you know, need to back off. I know my dogs, it's really hard to do a rotation when you're feeding like an ounce and a half of food.
No doubt.
How do you get the fish and the fish and the organs and the tripe and the everything else in there? You know,
my gosh, yeah.
You know, so I know if I get, you know, go a little heavy on the organ meats, you know, cause I got some thawed and I want to use it up, I'll have a loose stool and like, oh, well, too much organ meat. No, we go back to, you know, I'll put him on like a, we got a little loose stool, you know, I go back to, you know, like the turkey PMR or PMR blend's got a little higher bone. Within 24 hours, their stools are usually just as solid as can be. So I think you need to, it's not that the food is bad. It's about how do we vary the routine so that it's appropriate with the individual. And it's a very, very different way of looking at it rather than just saying, oh, the food must be bad. I'm going to send it back.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, Dr. Jasek, is our veterans, you, me, Neely, when our dogs have loose stool, the word sick never comes to mind. It's like, okay, exactly what you just said. Let me see. Maybe this particular dog in my family of dogs, the too much tripe or this amount of tripe causes loose stools for that particular dog. It is for my youngest one versus my, 11-year-old that like your Chihuahua, she has a stomach of steel. Nothing bothers this dog. But the word sick, Dr. Jasek, I hear that so much. It made my dog sick. What do you mean it made your dog sick? Well, he had loose stools. Well, did he have a temperature? Was he laying around? Was he lethargic? Was he, pooping blood? Was he drinking water and throwing that up? Now that might be sick. Did he have a fever? But come on, guys, we're not going to use that word sick just for loose stool.
Exactly. And I think, and then the worst thing that happens, people have this knee jerk reaction. They see a loose stool. Oh, my dog is sick. They run in to their conventional veterinarian who does what? Puts the dog on antibiotics. Oh, eating raw. We probably have a bacterial infection. They put the dog on antibiotics. And you know what? That makes the gut worse. And it's going to make it harder for this dog to fully adapt to eating raw. Every time you take your dog in, they get an oral pharmaceutical, especially antibiotics. You are negatively impacting that microbiome and you're prolonging this process. And I see dogs that, this happens. They keep going back in, getting medicated, for whether it's skin or gut or whatever reason. And then this transition process takes longer and longer and longer. And people start to get frustrated because, well, this food just keeps making my dog sick, right? It's not the food. It's all the drugs you keep giving, just allow it to, work its way out. And it's like you said, Dee Dee, there's key things to look for. If your dog's lethargic, doesn't want to get up, not drinking water, doesn't want to go for walks, things like that, then maybe we have a sick dog. But when they're, and this is what I look at in my dogs, if we have a loose stool, but hey, they're happy and perky and a lot of times still wanting to eat. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to switch up my routine a little bit and see if we can get those stools firmed up. Even if they vomit a time or two, even that can indicate, hey, we need to work on that stomach. We need to get that stomach healthier and producing the acid that is necessary to digest the raw food. If you're giving your dog Pepcid, I see dogs, another thing, chronic GI disease, they're put on Pepcid or Tagamet or something like that. They've been on that for a long time. That stomach does not just bounce back overnight. Even if we can get them off of those drugs, stomach doesn't just automatically go back to normal acid production. So we have to work with those individuals because we are asking the stomach to digest something it's not used to. And we have suppressed the natural acid production for sometimes long periods of time because the digestion was upset a lot of times because the dog had been eating something like a kibble diet. So this, the Pepcid keeps the symptoms away, right? We're just suppressing symptoms. But now we remove that suppression and we're feeding a different diet. We have to, this digestive tract needs to learn how to digest normally again. And that can take time, weeks, sometimes months to get them where they can tolerate a full rotation. So the more people, I think, need to look really, honestly at what are they doing? What conventional treatments are they giving their dog, even though they think it's benign? People don't even think that vaccines could be an issue till they kind of wake up to that. Think, well, my vet sent me the reminder, said my dog's due for lepto. So I took him in for the lepto vaccine. Lepto vaccine causes more inflammation than any other vaccine. It's horrible. It's horrible. I would never recommend giving it. I think people need to look at that and all those external factors that's contributing to why does my dog get diarrhea, when it eats a certain food. It's not about the food.
It's not about bacteria in the food. It could be that, you know, your dog needs more bone or less tripe or whatever. But that doesn't mean the food is bad. It's just figuring out what your dog needs. And I will say, to your point about these medications and things that have hidden ingredients, the main ingredient, Dr. Jason, can you know this, in products used to manage poop eating, MSG is in that product. Because why? It alters the flavor of fecal matter. Now, would you rather your dog eat poop, or would you rather be poisoning them with a neurotoxin called MSG? I vote for poop eating.
Yeah, I know. And that kills me too. There's a product called Forbid, which has been widely sold, you know, to put in the dog's stool to get it to quit eating poop. And I remember, like, the first time I looked on the label, like, what the heck's in this stuff? I'm like, oh my God, it's just MSG. That's awful. And, you know, again, it's another one of those things. Let's look at why is a dog eating poop? You know, maybe it needs a better diet. You know, like, maybe we need to be feeding it better, so it doesn't, its body isn't craving something, and it doesn't know even what it's craving, but it thinks that the poop might be might be healthier than its kibble. I don't know. Maybe that's what the dog is thinking.
I tell you who likes poop around here is my squirrels. They love the dog's poop. They're like, man, that's really good stuff. Yeah, I always see it. They always pick up the poop and it's up on the fence. I'm like, these squirrels are liking my dog's poop. Oh, that's
funny. How did my dog get up on the fence to poop?
That's right. I said, man, my dogs are very agile. All right, everybody. Well, listen, if you want to work with Dr. Jasek, she can work with you from wherever you are in the United States. How does she do that? Technology. It's called Zoom. It's called the phone. You can work with her. You can ask her all these questions. She's excellent. The clinic is just blowing up because people want an alternative, right? You hear something and people are starting to wake up and they're like, yeah, you know what? That just doesn't sound right. How could my dog benefit on a natural flavor, you know, all these ingredients I can't even pronounce. I have no idea what, how can my dog, you know, do better on that? That something's just not right. So I would suggest that you want to bounce those ideas off of Dr. Jasek. She can read blood work, right? There's so much you can do remotely. So you want to, her last name is spelled J-A-S-E-K, Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K. The website is AHA Vet, that's Animal Healing Arts, vet.com. And remember, we ship the raw right here at Raw Dog Food and Company. So go over to our website. We have a brand new website going to launch pretty soon, Dr. Jasek.
Oh yeah, that's exciting. I saw your email about that.
You know, it was supposed to launch about 6 months ago. And it's just, there's so many different components. I have a learning center that I'm hoping that, you know, the podcast will be easier for people to go to, the step-by-step, how do I thaw it? How do I feed it? You know, all of that. Right now, we've got a lot of information on our current website. And so people are a little bit overwhelmed. So we want to take that and pare it down so it's going to be easier for you. So watch for that. That's coming out soon. But for now, just go over to Raw Dog Food and Co., where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you right here next week on the Raw Dog Food Show.
Oh, snaps!
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.